Amen. We want to express appreciation to God, first of all, for allowing us this great privilege to be assembled and to be a part of this worship, which is dedicated to Him, knowing that it is because of Him that we even have the opportunity to see this day and every day. For the Bible teaches us that it is in God that we live, move, and have our very being. And it's only right that we begin our week on the first day of the week in praise and in worship to God, who is our keeper. We are so happy to see every member of this church. I look forward to looking out. Now, when you sit where you normally sit, I can spot you pretty easily, knowing that you're either here or you're absent. But those of you who move around, that's kind of hard for me to keep up with you. But those of you who have your normal places where you sit, it's a joy each Lord's Day to look out and to see your place filled and you in your place of worship this morning. You know, it's getting difficult to serve God these days. Not difficult because of inconvenience, but it's people not choosing to serve God. And so I don't take it lightly when you're here. I want you to know I am encouraged when I see each one of you saints come to worship God. We're also very happy to have visitors to come. Each time that we have visitors to come and to share with us in our worship, we want you to know that you are our honored guest. Among the visitors today, I understand that we have some special guests who are in our midst. They are part of a class reunion or a school reunion of the Hamilton Park High School or school there in the neighborhood, Hamilton Park. And they are concluding their activities by being with us on this day, worshiping with us. And those of you who are with this group, who are part of the reunion, we'd like for you to stand. We'd like for all of you to stand, those of you who are part of this group. Now keep standing, keep standing, keep standing, keep standing, keep standing. Yeah, I wanted everybody to get a chance to look around and view the entire audience. And may God bless you all. Thank you all so much. You may have your seats. Thank you all so much for choosing to be with us. We have something in kinship, and that is that this church actually began in Hamilton Park, right down Stultz and Forest Lane. And so we are honored that you chose to be with us and to help all of us to remember from whence we have come and how God has blessed this great neighborhood to produce so many wonderful and outstanding people and so many great causes. And so thank you for choosing to be with us here. I want to call your attention this morning. We are looking at the theme, the anatomy of Christ. And as we look at our relationship to Christ and our discipleship to Christ, we are using various passages of Scripture to help us to understand this great, unique relationship that we have with Him. This morning, I want to call your attention to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to begin at verse number 1, and we will read through verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk or the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here in this particular passage, we have Peter, the apostle, helping his readers to understand their unique relationship to Jesus Christ. Understanding this relationship should encourage them, because they are in persecution and trial. And whenever you are being persecuted and you are being tried, you look for those things that will bring about stability, those things that will bring about hope, those things that will help navigate you and bring you successfully to a good outcome. Many times you and I fail to see the wonderful relationship between Christ and the believers. Here Peter is using a building. He's picturing the temple of God. Now, in the Old Testament, we understand that Solomon built this great temple, and there was a lot of work that went into it, the laying of the foundation and the building up of its structure. And then it was a place. It was a place where God put his name. It was a place where God was being recognized among his people and among the nations, that this is God's house and this is God's place, where God is to be acknowledged. Now, this was the physical temple. But when we come to the New Testament, Peter wants us to understand that no longer is it a physical temple, but it is a spiritual temple. And actually, to be honest about it, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He is the very epitome of the temple that was erected by Solomon. He is the temple of God. He is the place of worship. He is the way to God. And that's where God's name is, and that's where God is to be adored, through Jesus Christ. But he takes this picture, and he's painting this picture of this great building of God. So I'm going to use for a subject, stones for building. Stones for building. Now, the first thing that he highlights is the foundation. You can't build, a good structure without having what? A good what? Foundation. And so the foundation is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Notice now, he says in verse number 4, he says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Notice now, he says that Jesus Christ is a stone. But he is a what kind of stone? He is a living stone. He not only calls him a living stone, but he calls him a precious stone. But the idea is that you need to see that this is a spiritual building. This is a house that lives. Now, when he talks in terms of a living stone, I know he's talking about Jesus as being the foundation, but anybody who knows anything about a stone, stones, rocks are not living. So he wants you to move away from the idea of that which is dead to that which is living. And he says, but I need you to keep in mind that he is a stone. And the reason you need to know he's a stone is because the stone is the foundation. The stone is that which everything is predicated upon. And he wants you to know that there's permanence. He wants you to know that there's security. And you know that you are able to depend on the building because of the foundation. There were many other times that he used these metaphors when he talked about Jesus. Jesus is not just seen as a stone, but he is seen as bread. But he calls him living bread. Jesus is seen as water, but he is called living water. It's so important that you understand that Jesus is that individual who brings life. When he brings life, there are certain things that have to come to mind when you hear the word life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, what does that life, what does life really help you to understand about Jesus? Well, number one, you're talking about that which is living, but you're also talking about, ladies and gentlemen, that which has been blessed. If Jesus Christ is the living stone, he by his being who he is, the living stone, then that means he is blessed. Anybody who is really living is blessed. Not only are they blessed, but it carries the idea of being eternal. It is eternal. You've got to contrast that which is spiritual with that which is natural. That which is spiritual brings eternal life. It is that which can be depended on not only today, but it can be depended on tomorrow, and it'll be here even in future generation. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he said, now I want you to distinguish between that water in that well and the water that I have. Now you have water, but you're going to thirst again in that well. But the water I have is living water. It'll be a well inside of you that will spring up unto everlasting life. So the idea is that when you look at this building, when you look at this temple that he is illustrating, it is an eternal dwelling place. It is an eternal abode where the Lord God is to be worshipped. But Jesus is the living foundation. Well, Brother Gibbs, can you help me with that? Well, I want to look, first of all, at some passages of Scripture. Matthew 16, 18. I want you to see the permanence. And I want you to see that you don't have to worry. When you're in trouble, you got trials and tribulation, or when the storms of life come, you want to be in a house that will stand. You want to be in a house that will be able to withstand the storms of life. Notice now, Jesus talking to Peter, when he asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they came back and they said many things. Well, finally, Peter got it right. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, this is what he said. And I also say to you, since you got who I am right, that I am the Son of God, the living God. He said, you are Peter. Now that's interesting, because Peter means rock. He says, you are Peter. And he said, upon this rock. Now, Peter is one rock, but when he says upon this rock, it's another rock. Peter, Petros, little rock. Petra, massive rock. In other words, I want you to know you are a little rock. And on this massive rock, well, what is the massive rock? That I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. Now, Peter, you're all right. You're a little rock. But I want you to understand that the church that I'm going to build, I'm going to build it on the massive rock of who I am. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right? And the gates, here it is. Watch the permanence. Watch the solidarity of it. He said, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And so therefore, you need to see that he is talking about the fact that I am a rock. I am the foundation on which my people will be built, my church will be built. I want to look at another passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. He says, it's going to get long, but I need to hasten. That's what I was waiting on. Somebody to say, take your time. All right, now, for, watch this now. Listen to what he said. For what? No what? No other what? Foundation can any what? Can any man or anyone what? Lay than that which is what? Laid, which is whom? Jesus Christ. So what he's trying to tell you is that I am the foundation of my people. And I'm a living stone. And I am a foundation that cannot be ever duplicated, replicated, or even anybody have parallel with. There is none other. I am, and he says, that it's laid, and it's not laid by men, and it is Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Gibbs, you know, the Jews had a problem, and it won't take me long to just make this point. The Jews had a problem with Jesus when Jesus would come and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come unto the Father except to come by. They had a problem when he would open the eyes of blind people and heal lame folk on the Sabbath day. Want to know, by what authority do you do these things, and who are you? Who do you say you are? And then he just tell them that I do it by the authority of my Father who sent me. And then it finally comes down to the point that they have to recognize that he is the Messiah that is sent from God. And that's why the text says that he was indeed disallowed, which means that he was rejected, but God has made him precious. Now, this is the passage that I want you to see. In Acts 4, verse 11 and 12, put it up there. Acts 4, verse 11 and 12. And I want you to see that those builders who wanted to build the house of God, build the people of God, rejected Jesus. Here's what Peter tells them. This is the stone which was rejected by the what? By you builders, which has become the what? The chief what? Cornerstone. All right, watch this now. Nor is there what? Salvation in what? Any other. For there is what? No other what? Name where? Under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, you can reject it, but God has chosen it, and God has made it precious. That's why you and I need to understand that this wonderful building temple of God has a foundation that cannot be shaken, a foundation that is eternal, a foundation on which one can be blessed if he or she builds their life on him. Well, Brother Gibbs, secondly, what I like about our text, go back now to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want you to look with me at verse number 4. He says, well, verse number 5, and I'm going to end in verse number 5 in the next 30 minutes. Now listen, all right. But watch this now. I didn't want you to think I'm about to end. All right. I like the fact that he says, ye also, verse 5. He said, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable. Watch this. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, but it's got to be through Jesus Christ. I like the fact that he said, you also. Well, when he said you also, he is simply saying, just as Christ is a living stone, just as Christ is that on which the house of God is made up, the foundation, you need to see that God's house, God's temple, God's place, his building, is not complete with just the foundation. He's got to have stones, building material, in order to build up his house. He said, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. I don't need just a foundation, but I need a house as well. And so what God is looking for, he's looking for stones that he would be able to use in his building. Every person that God seeks to save and bring into a relationship with him. He wants them to become a part of the great building, the great temple of God. But he wants you to know you're not the foundation, but you are a stone within the foundation. Now, watch this. In verse number 4, it was, go back to 4. Watch this now. Coming as a living what? Stone. Singular. Are you with me? Singular. Watch this. Go back to verse number 5. Watch this now. You also as living what? Stones. So the difference is Jesus is the what? Stone. Singular. Jesus is the foundation. What? Singular. But you and I, in relationship with him, we are living stones and are built up a what? Spiritual what? House. So God wants us to understand that we have a unique relationship with Christ. And that is that as he is a living stone, the foundation, you and I are small stones that are part of the great building of God. Something that's unique about stone here is that stone carries the idea of being formed and shaped by God. God chose the stone. He chose Jesus, the cornerstone. Chosen, selected. Are you with me? It is the one that God made choice over. The same goes for each one of us as little stone. We have been chosen by God, brought in by God for the sake of building up the house of God. I want to use 1 Corinthians. Put that on the screen for me. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 16. And I want you to watch what the Bible says. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Are you with me? So God wants us to know that we are the temple of God. We are little stones, but we are little stones on the foundation of Jesus, building up the temple of God. As the foundation is living, so are the stones living. Well, what makes us live? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Verse 17, watch this now. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Put Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19. And then I am hastening on toward a conclusion. Now watch this now. Watch the Bible. Ephesians 2 and verse number 19. Now therefore, you are no longer what? Strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. Watch the next verse. Verse 20, having been built, that is, on the foundation of the what? The apostles and what? Prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the what? Chief cornerstone. Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, if I was an old preacher, like those old preachers, it's right along there, you're supposed to say, the chief cornerstone. Am I right about it? Amen. Walls and light. You got to make a difference between all those others and Jesus. But watch this now. Verse number 21. Watch verse number 21. In whom? Watch this now. The whole building being what? Fitted together. Let me just work with that. The whole building. Yeah, now watch this. When you become a little stone, brought in, shaped by God, to be a part of the great building of the temple of God, God wants you to know that you are part of the building, and the whole building is being fitted together. It's being forced together. It's being cemented together. In other words, I can't have a building if the stones are not together. I got to find a way to pull the stones together. I got a whole lot of little stone, but I got to pull them to what? Together, because the strength, the permanence is based on the little stones being what? Fitted. How? Together. If they're not together, y'all don't want to pray with me.
But if the stones are not what? Together, then the building is not going to be what God would want, nor would it be able to praise him and exalt him, because it's not. These bricks, they are individual bricks, but they make up a wall, but they are fitted together. They were hewn out by the brick mason or the brick maker, and they were made for the purpose of being brought together. And they all have to be together in order for this wall to have strength, to have permanence. And that's what he's trying to tell us, is that what I need is all of my little stones, all of those believers, to begin to understand that they've got to be together. That's when God gets glory, when we're all together. I know that being together is what brings glory and honor to God Almighty. Amen. You see, I'm a stone, and my wife is a stone. But we don't work well unless we are what? Together. I got four children, and each one of them is a little old stone. But brother, I'm trying to tell you, they work so much better together when we're all fitted what? Together. And that's the strength of God's building, God's temple. He's looking for stones that he can use in the building of his great house. Well, as I close now, I want you to see that not only are the believers living stones, but he goes on to tell us that we are a holy priesthood. We are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So he moves from the idea of a building to the building now being completed, and the worshipers are coming into the building. It's time now to worship God. It's time now for God to get some glory. It's time now for some praises to go up to God. I got my building. I got my foundation. I got my rocks, and they're all fitted together. So now I need you to know that when you get in my house, you are spiritual priest, and you're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, you being the spiritual house and the spiritual priest offering up spiritual sacrifices. Well, listen, when you talk about spiritual sacrifices, interesting. You look at the definition of sacrifice. Sacrifice could mean self-denial, denying oneself. In other words, when I come before God, I come before God and I deny myself, and I accentuate God and not myself. Now that's all right. But in this context, he is simply saying that I need you to offer some gifts, and I need you to offer some spiritual gifts. In other words, I don't need you coming to me expecting me to give you something. It's time for you to come to me and bring me something. Am I right about it? You see, our problem is that we so caught up in wanting God to give us something. Well, God says, let me tell you something. There's nothing you can give me. There's nothing that I have that you can't have, that I can give you. But every now and then, I'm tired of always giving. Sometimes I want folk to give to me. You see, I got 9 grandchildren. And every time they come around me, they got the hand out. Well, every now and then, on Granddaddy's Day, I want them to come and bring Granddaddy some gifts. Am I right about it? So all I'm trying to say is that every now and then, God just wants to know that you thank me, that you love me, that you appreciate what I've done, and I need you to bring me some sacrifice. Well, let me see what you can bring him. Number one, bring him yourself.
Amen.
Bring him your life.
Amen.
Bring him your time.
Amen.
Bring him your talent.
Amen.
Bring him your money.
Amen.
Bring him. Ever anybody? Bring God gifts and let him know that you are to be praised and you are to be adored and you are to be adorned among a world that is filled with sin and degradation. God, when we come to worship, let me open my mouth and sing. When I come to worship, let me open my Bible and read your word. When I come to worship, I want my neighbors to know that when I pull out the driveway headed to a destination, everybody that lives in my neighborhood ought to know Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so, on their way to the house of God Almighty. I'm trying to tell you, every now and then, folk need to know that you are in the habit of giving God praise, giving God honor, giving God service, giving the world what God needs. Well, as I close for sure, I don't want to be the kind of person that when I see Jesus, that I decide that I don't need him. I don't want to substitute Jesus for Donald Trump. I don't want to substitute Jesus for Hillary Clinton. I don't want to substitute Jesus for nobody, because can't nobody be what they need to be to me like Jesus. Jesus is the only one I know who's the captain of my salvation. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He started me out. He's the one that's going to keep me going. He's the one that's going to bring me to my concluding destination. Somebody ought to ask me, who is this man called Jesus? He's so powerful that he was able to speak to the wind, speak to the waves, and they obeyed his voice. Somebody hollered out and said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? God is a mighty, mighty God. Somebody ought to ask me, what kind of Jesus is it? He's a Jesus that went down to a man's grave, been dead for long days, but he was so powerful that he said, Lazarus, and Lazarus came up out of the grave. Am I right about it? Oh, I done got happy now. Am I right about it? I done got happy now. Amen. Walks alive. Oh, can't no. Listen. Can't nobody do it like Jesus. Nobody. And if I'm going to build my life, I'm going to build my life on Jesus. I'm going to be a rock on Jesus. I'm going to be a rock in his house. I'm going to be a rock in his service. You want a living home? I mean a home that lives. I ain't talking about a dead home.
Yes.
I'm talking about a living home.
Yes.
Then you be a rock. And you get in Jesus.
Yes.
And I'll show you what you can do for your home.
Yes.
Am I right?
Right?
All right. I done probably worked myself up until I done scared the baby. Amen. 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 But I need to quit. I need to quit. Well, all I'm trying to tell you, We want our neighborhoods to be vital and bring Jesus to them. You want to change America? Change yourself. And let Jesus change you. And then I guarantee you, wherever you go, you'll be a blessing. You will bring stability. And you'll bring permanence. As a child of God, working on a job, that job is a better, that workforce is better because I am an employee. The airplane that flies has a better chance of making it
because there's a rock on board. I heard somebody say, I think it was Brother Chris said, if you take Jesus with you, and don't worry about the airplane, because you never be separated. If the plane even crashed, you'll still go on up with Jesus. I want to make sure that's known. But in the meantime, I want to make it to Baltimore if that's where I'm going in. Yeah. Let's schedule this thing, God. Let's schedule it. Okay, you ready for me? Okay, now I'm ready. All right. I know I need to quit now. I know you say that, but you're the only one said it. All right. Now, how do I get into Jesus? I get into Jesus, and this is so wonderful, because Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one who judgeth him. He said, the words that I have spoken, he said, the same are going to judge you in the last day. You can't reject this stone, because God's chosen it and it's precious. And he said, it's going to judge you in the last day. Then I heard him say this. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Say, when the rain descended, floods came and the winds blew, the house did not fall because it was built up on the rock. But the man who disallows and rejects, he's like a man that's foolish. Built his house upon the sand, not knowing that he was not protected against the storms of life. Amen. There are a lot of you in this audience who have built careers, built homes, built your life, but it has not been with Jesus. Amen. You in this category, you're the foolish. Because when the rain descends and the floods come and the winds blow, your house will not be able to stand. I'm begging you, if you're in this audience and you don't know Jesus, you have not accepted him as your Savior, your personal Savior, and as the foundation of your life, I'm asking you, accept the living stone. Let Jesus be the one that you put your faith in. Build your life on him. And he'll protect you against the storms of life. Will you come? You come by hearing his gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. They asked the question on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this is what Peter said. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And then watch what he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want you to do. Don't tarry. Obey God today. Build your house. Be a living stone. Will you do that? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Careless soul, why will you linger?